Good morning. I first have to ask, happy Father's Day to those to whom it's appropriate. But as I was sitting there and I was looking at the screen, I'm pretty sure my dad had a sweater vest with that. Did anybody, yeah, you're laughing because you must recognize it too then, yeah? I'm pretty sure he had that in his wardrobe. So I won't ask if any of you have it in your wardrobe. But, well, glad to see all of you here. Be careful. If you start to feel this side lean a little bit, let me know. We'll ask a few people. It's just like there's so many people on this side. It's all good, though. I'm glad we're here. We're here to worship the Lord. Let me give you a couple of announcements before we get started. Just a reminder about the special council meeting tomorrow night. Also, I want to remind you that on the 29th, we're going to be recognizing our graduates, have them as part of the service. But then right after the service, also, if you'll hang around a little bit, there'll just be some snacks over in the fellowship hall. You'll get a chance to meet them, talk to them, ask them how things are going for them. You know, just get to know them a little bit and enjoy some snacks while you're doing that. Also, no Bible study tonight. Enjoy your time either with your dad or with your children if you are a dad. No Bible study tonight, and also next Sunday night as well. And then we have I'll have something else in a minute too. Does anybody else have any kind of special announcements? I do see, I'll wait. That's probably going to be a praise later. Any other announcements? Anything else we need to know on the calendar for the family? Okay. Well, the only other thing that I want to mention is you'll see that there's an entry, in the bulletin about the baby bottle boomerang. I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Dawn talk about it. She can probably say it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, the alliteration might be tricky. It's baby bottle boomerang time. It could be any time of year, but I just chose this time. Most of us think of the Align Life Ministries as helping young women and their babies, which it does. Last year, I tried to point out that it also helps couples. And today, I have a testimony from a father that was helped by that. So it just starts off with, "You don't know Aaron, but you changed his life." Is there a person who has changed your life? Someone whose kindness or faithful prayer has helped make you the person you are today? For Aaron, you are one of those people. Aaron is an expectant father, has been working hard in our parenting classes. He told his client advocate he wanted to be a good dad, but he was scared. What if things didn't work out? What if he couldn't measure up? Plus, he didn't have good friends who were dads. Aaron's advocate urged him to seek a supportive church community to help him. But Aaron had grown up in a church, and a difficult experience had left him feeling burned. The advocate reassured Aaron that while others fail us, God, the perfect Father, will never fail us. God would help Aaron be the kind of involved, caring, patient father he longed to be. So Aaron's advocate gently offered referrals to several solid Bible-believing churches. Fast forward a short time, and God's word has not returned void. Aaron and his girlfriend were recently married and are now preparing to welcome their child into their family. They are currently in search of a church with an active men's group so Aaron can continue to grow. God is using your generosity to alter the course of a life. Aaron is overcoming his fears to become the best dad he can be, and his baby will be born into a family surrounded and supported by the love of God. So I'm just asking if many of you that are willing to take a baby bottle, put coins in it, dollar bills, a check, whatever you can. I'm going to leave it up there for a month. And if you have any questions about Align Life, you can ask me. I've been working there since volunteering there since January, so I'm getting to know the organization pretty well. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we hope to see the table empty. Hope everybody will take bottles home, and like she said, pennies fit in there, dollar bills fit in there, 20s fit in there real well too. So whatever you'll do to help will be greatly appreciated. So today's about fathers. Today is about love. You're going to see that as a theme throughout. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able as we get ready for the call to worship. I'll pray first, and then we'll then we'll share in that call to worship. Heavenly Father, we are here to worship you. We are here because you are worthy of our praise, worthy of our attention. And so we pray that all that we do here would bring glory to you. Nothing to bring focus on ourselves. All the focus should be on you, Lord. And so we do pray that this time will be a blessing to you as it is a blessing to us as well. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so for our call to worship, I'm using Psalm 136. And we're going to be talking, as we hear, continue to hear, about fathers and love. And we're going to talk about, read about the Father's love, the Heavenly Father's love. I'm going to ask you to help me out with this. You've got a very easy response. You get to tell me and tell everyone, say that his love endures forever. So every time I say a verse, good morning, Ron and Jean. It is so good to see you. Sorry, good morning to everybody. But it's just, I'm so happy to see them back there. I'm going to read a verse and then you respond with his love endures forever, okay? So starting with verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him alone, to him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures.
Who made the great lights?
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
And I'll skip the next 15 verses, the next 15 opportunities for you to say that. But we'll go right to verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. We're going to start with a song that calls us to kind of rally together as a church, bring our love together, and then the second song will be lifting our praises to the Lord. So let's lift our praises and join our praise band in singing our praises this morning.
It don't have a job. It don't pay your bills. Won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life. In 5 easy steps, ain't the law of the land or the government, but it's all you need, and love will hold us together. Shelter weather storm, and I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone. It's waiting for you, knocking at your door. When your heart hits the floor, and you're on your knees, and love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm, and I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. 'Cause even in the dark, you can still see the light. It's gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. 'Cause even in the dark, you can still see the light. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. And love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone. Love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone.
Draw me to your side.
If you're a father, would you raise your hand? And all the rest of you, would you take a few minutes to go to those people who have their hands up and go wish them a happy Father's Day? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, let's take some time to share our praises. How many of you, anybody have a praise they'd like to share from this morning, from the previous week? Yes, okay, let's hear it. Now let's get Gene first. Wait a minute, the blue mic. It's working. Well, we have missed you a lot too. We're glad you're here. Glad you're well enough to be here. Yeah. Yes, well, we share your praise that you're here as well. Any other praises? I got one back here, okay.
We are thankful that we got moved into our new location.
Yeah.
It went pretty well. We're tired.
Yeah.
But we made it, and we had lots of help with different people, including this guy beside me.
Yeah.
So we are getting settled, and we have some new neighbors, Ron and Jean,
yeah,
which is nice. So we're settled. Thank
okay,
you.
Good. Yep, praise the Lord. We have a praise over here.
I'm glad that it's my brother's birthday on Father's Day.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it, when it's a birthday and Father's Day at the same time. Yeah. Happy birthday. Any other praises? Okay, we'll get this one. Yeah, I see you over there.
It's kind of a strange praise.
Okay.
This morning I woke up a little burdened, and music is my love songs. So I put on Chris Tomlin and listened to Is He Worthy? And one of the words is, it's all creation groaning. And I thought, yeah, we are. Our country's in chaos. The world is in is just in turmoil. The next one is a new creation coming. And I thought, there's the praise, there's the hope. Mm-hmm. God's promise, yeah, a new creation is coming. So take hope, and that was my praise.
Yeah, amen. Anything we can talk about, there's always the but God, and we can. It's always the positive then. Amy, you had...
Yes, from Zoom, Jim likes to praise that yesterday the rain held off for the fair, and so he got to talk to lots of people.
Good.
And he sold a book, and his knees held out through the day. So.
Okay. Overall, good day then. Glad to hear it. Any other praises? Any prayer requests? Okay, well, that's good. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we know that there are so many things that are on our, excuse me, on our minds, on our hearts, and some of them we just can't even put into words. But we also recognize that you are in control, that nothing catches you off guard, nothing gets past you, nothing surprises you. We just thank you for being there, for being there for us, whether it's something that's making us unhappy, whether it's an inconvenience, or whether it is a struggle, a toil. We thank you for just giving us strength, giving us patience. We thank you for those things that we've heard about with some milestones. We thank you for birthdays. We thank you for moves to a new home. We thank you for healing and strength that brings our family back together in person. We know you are our provider and our comforter and our great physician. And so help us to always remember that. Since you are our provider, we thank you for the income that you provide for us each week. We've given a portion back, Lord, and I pray that all of us have remembered you and done it as a token of worship. We pray that you'll accept our offering, bless it, and use it to further your kingdom and to further your church. Help us to be a reflection of you, an example of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you'll watch over us these times, as we talked about turmoil, the things that are going on in the world, right here in our own country, even within our own state, and in our neighboring cities. We just ask you for guidance, for protection, but also for love, so that we don't get pulled into vengeful actions, hateful thoughts. We need you, Lord. We need your love and we need your patience. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together in singing our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
right, it's time for the children if they'd like to be dismissed to children's church. Now's the time. And we know that today is that one day of the year where I take the liberty of telling a dad joke or two. So I'm going to limit it to just two Bible dad jokes. We know that Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible, but who was the smartest man in the Bible? It was Abraham, because he knew a lot. And what kind of person was Boaz before he got married? I heard he was ruthless. Okay. That's how I know they're good, when I hear the groans. All right. That's it, just those two. So today our hymns and our songs have been about love. And our sermon's going to be about love, and it's Father's Day. So I'm going to start with a simple story about a father's love. One day, a father and a son were sitting together in the father's living room. The father was rather old. The son was highly educated, but both sat there in silence. Just then, a crow flew down and sat on the branch of the tree that was growing just outside the window. As the old man seemed to remember something, he kind of got a little smile in the corner of his lip, an eyebrow went up, and he asked his son, "What is that?" And the son assumed that his father couldn't properly see the bird, and he answered, "It's a crow." And they returned to sitting in silence. A few minutes later, the crow moved on the branch. The father asked, "What is that?" And the son abruptly answered, "It's a crow." And the room returned to silence. A few minutes later, the father asked again, "What is that?" And the son, growing frustrated, said, "It's a crow, father." Silence. A few minutes later, the father asked again, "What is that?" Well, that was it. The son lost his patience. "Dad, I told you 3 times already. It's a crow. It's a crow. It's a crow. How many times do I need to repeat it before you'll understand that it's a crow?" Silence. Then without saying anything and without showing any emotion, the father stood up from his chair and calmly walked out of the room. The son heard some noises coming from his father's bedroom. It sounded like his father was looking for something. And after several minutes, the father returned to the room carrying his old, tattered diary. He sat down. Without saying anything, he just started flipping through the yellowed pages of that diary. "What are you looking for?" asked the son. No reply from the father, just silence. Then suddenly the father said, "Ah, here it is." And he reached out and he showed his son an entry from that diary, an entry that was about that son. And it read, Today I sat with my 3-year-old son. Together we sat on the sofa and looked out the front window. He repeatedly asked me about the crow that sat outside, 23 times to be exact. It took him 23 times to understand that it was a crow. The son quietly apologized, then they returned to silence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. I ask you to help reveal that truth to us this morning. Help us to understand your love, the love we are to show, and those that we are to spread that love to. I ask that we would be doers and not just hearers of your word. Let it pierce our hearts and not just our ears. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the father in that story showed an awful lot of patience and kindness, twice, in fact, in the story. He showed it, obviously, in the past when dealing with his son as a three-year-old, but then also dealing with his grown son, maybe acting like a three-year-old. But his patience and his kindness were demonstrations of his love. Paul's going to tell us today that love is patient and love is kind. But he's not telling us this stuff today just so that we know how we're supposed to behave. He's linking his thoughts about the church having many gifts but one body, in the chapter we just completed, chapter 12. He's linking that with the way those gifts are to be used in a worship setting. That's going to be in chapter 14. So right here in this chapter 13 that we're going to go through today, he's linking those two things. He's making the point that spiritual gifts are worthless without love. And then he beautifully defines love in language that points out to the Corinthian church just how poorly they are measuring up. I know chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. It's often read at weddings because it describes the hopes and expectations of both the bride and the groom. He hopes she'll be patient. She hopes he'll be kind. But this chapter isn't about the love of a husband and a wife. It's about the love of the many parts of the one body called the church. So we can't just tune this out because it's all warm and fuzzy and sounds like the happy ending of a Hallmark movie. Paul is giving instructions on the proper use of our spiritual gifts. So let's see what he has to say, beginning with actually the last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 12. In your Bibles, they split it in half, put half of it to end chapter 12, and the other half of it starts chapter 13. But if you remember, he talked about all those spiritual gifts, and he says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way." So which gifts are greater? I think we're going to find today that he would say those gifts that are supported by love. Love is more important than any of the gifts. It's more important than all of the gifts. Spiritual maturity is not gauged by your gift or how many gifts you have. It's not, spiritual maturity isn't gauged by your gifts. Spiritual maturity is gauged by your love. They'll know we are Christians by our love, not our gifts. Spiritual gifts are worthless without love. Here's how D.L. Moody puts it. A man may be a good doctor without loving his patients, a good lawyer without loving his clients, a good geologist without loving science, but he cannot be a good Christian without love. I would also add, a man can't be a good pastor unless he loves his flock. That's true for me, and it's true for Paul. He loves his flock in Corinth, and he needs to correct them, maybe even rebuke them a little bit, because of their abuse of their spiritual gifts. So he gives them some instruction that sounds a lot like D.L. Moody's quote. Starting in verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Talks about a resounding gong. Now, actually, the original Greek doesn't say anything about a gong. It says resounding brass. And then the interpreters, the first thing they could think of, well, he must be talking about a gong. But really, it's likely to be a reference to some bronze vases that they had back in the day. They would use as amplifiers in the outdoor theaters during Paul's time. Some sort of bronze vases that I sort of picture as almost something too heavy, but that, like the cheerleaders with their megaphones, but think of it as big and brass and sounding through that and just bouncing off of it. As a Civil War reenactor, lined up beside many a bronze cannon, I can tell you that they give a much louder sound than the iron cannon that I was firing. And then you think about a cymbal. A cymbal sounds great when it's combined with the rest of the drum kit. and when it's with other instruments, but it can't make any music by itself. It only makes noise. And you start banging on a cymbal and put it next to a brass amplifier, a bronze amplifier, and I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of people covering their ears. So he says, that's all you are if you speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love. Speaking in the tongues of men or of angels. He's saying, so if even if I was gifted enough to be fluent in every conceivable language, we don't know what the language of angels is. When they present themselves, they speak in human language that people can understand, but when they're speaking to each other, we don't know. And it doesn't matter. That's not his point. His point is that whatever language they speak, even if I speak in that language, or in all the tongues, the languages of men, I can be fluent in all of them, but if I don't have love, I'm just making a lot of noise. And the word translated as love here, you're probably very familiar, is the Greek word agape. Love that is sacrificial. Love that puts concern for others way above any concern for myself. So if I don't have agape love, if I'm not concerning myself with the well-being of others, and I'm going around speaking in tongues, I'm just a noisemaker. And Paul is saying this because that's what was happening at the Corinthian church. He's specifically mentioning gifts that the Corinthian church was bragging about, speaking in tongues, and then also prophecy, a word of knowledge, faith, as we see in the next verse. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, I can be gifted with the ability to receive spiritual, special messages from God, but without love, it's no good. Think about Jonah. He receives a word of prophecy, but he didn't love the people he was supposed to go talk to. So he heads the other direction. And it didn't work out so well for him. So if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I know everything there is to know, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, if I have faith to do the impossible, but do not have love, I am nothing. I can have any of those gifts, all of those gifts, they're wonderful gifts, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, but I'm not doing any good if I don't have love. Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Talks about giving over his body to hardship. You're very familiar, I'm sure, with the fact that if people needed to pay off a debt, they couldn't pay it, they would make themselves slaves to that person until they earned enough that they could pay off that debt, and then they were freed. Well, there were some people in that time who were also just making themselves slaves, even though they didn't owe anything to that person. They would make themselves a slave in order to raise money, in order to earn money so that they could distribute that to the people who needed it. So if I give all I possess, give over my body to hardship, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So if I sell everything I've got, or if I make myself a slave to raise money for the poor, but I call the TV network and I make a presentation with a big cardboard check, not doing any of this out of love, then it's not worth a hill of beans. So, okay, Paul, I think we get it at this point. I need to be using my gifts in a sacrificial way that puts other people first. I need to have love. Okay, but just like that band Foreigner sang back in the 80s, I want to know what love is. And so Paul says, okay, well, I'll tell you what it is and what it isn't. Starting in verse 4, he says, love is patient, love is kind. Probably one of the most, easily recognized phrases in the Bible. Everybody knows it, even if they don't know the Bible. Love is patient, love is kind. We saw it demonstrated by that father in the story that we had earlier. So that's what it is. Then he goes into what it isn't. It does not envy. I have a quote from Billy Graham. He says, envy can ruin reputations, split churches, and cause murders. Envy can shrink our circle of friends, ruin our business, and dwarf our souls. I have seen hundreds cursed by it. Again, that was from Billy Graham. We know that envy murdered Abel. Envy enslaved Joseph. Envy put Jesus on the cross. What's envy doing to you? Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I've told you my stories about how I've, as a kid, would look forward to making as many free throws as I could in a row, or riding my bike up and down the road, out, you know, different things that I would go to especially my mom with, and she would remind me not to be proud, not to boast. It does not, verse 5, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. There was a story about a cobbler by the name of William Carey. He became known as the father of modern missions. He was born in 1761. And when he was 14 years of age, he became an apprentice in a shoe shop. He was converted at the age of 18, affiliated himself with the local Baptist church. At the age of 26, he was ordained. And his income as a preacher was so limited that he gained his subsistence by working as a shoemaker. It goes on, the story goes on to talk about all the great work that he did in India, brought the Bible to India. He talks about how he was strong in his belief in the power of the Word of God in print. This man of God, once a cobbler, practically self-educated, void of selfish interests, translated the Word of God into 40 different languages and dialects and printed it as well. And he was invited later to a dinner that was hosted by Lord Hastings, and he was sitting at the main table, and there was a general there. And the story goes that this general was trying to dishonor William Carey just a little bit by saying something to Lord Hastings that was not William Carey, once a shoemaker, kind of trying to put him down a little bit. But Dr. Carey overheard the question, and he replied, "No, sir, only a cobbler," which is even less than a shoemaker. They're just the ones that repair the shoes. So in his humility, while one was trying to perhaps dishonor him, he made sure that he left them know that, no, in his humility, he was only a cobbler. It's not easily angered. That's probably one of the hardest ones to deal with. Keeps no record of wrongs. Why do you always leave the toilet seat up? I don't know. Why don't you ever put the cap back on the toothpaste? Why do you remember that? Why does it matter? It does not keep record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. We don't look for ways to get back at people, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. A more familiar translation of that, you probably know. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So it's love. Love what it is, patient and kind. What it's not, proud, boastful, dishonoring, self-seeking, etc. And then what it always is, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering. And then Paul emphasizes the eternal nature of love. In verse 8, it starts out, it just says, love never fails. It doesn't quit. But the same can't be said for spiritual gifts. Let's read on. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Why? Why are these gifts going to cease and pass away? Well, because they're given specifically to be used in this broken, imperfect world. They won't be needed when perfection comes. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, going on to verse 10, but when completeness comes, or perfection comes, wholeness comes, what is in part disappears. Knowledge and prophecy will disappear when completeness or perfection comes. Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a minute, I promise, because there's a few verses that help us to finish that thought. But let me read on in verse 11, and then I'll come back to this one. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. When does a boy become a man? Is it when he becomes an Eagle Scout? When he graduates from high school? When he comes home from the army? We don't really have any special rituals or ceremonies like some cultures do that mark the progression from youth to manhood. But back in the Corinthian days, they did. And when they entered manhood, they would replace their childhood toga with an all-white adult toga. There was a visible reminder, something visual that they could see to remind them that they were entering a new phase in their life. And the same is going to be true for the Christian. Verse 12, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. He talks about looking into a mirror, seeing a reflection in a mirror. Now, the mirrors of today are very, very clear. We see so much. Sometimes I've heard people say that we see too much, especially if the light is too bright. They're too good. They're too clear. But back in Paul's day, they were made of bronze, which Corinth was very well known for. They're bronze and all these things that were made from bronze. And they could polish the bronze to a point where you could see yourself fairly well. You could see a reflection of yourself. But, of course, it's bronze, so it's a little dark, and it's still a little bit fuzzy. But he says, that's how we see now, then we shall see face to face. And this is where I go back to verse 10 then, and verses 9 and 10, where it talked about why those things will, the knowledge and prophecy, they're in part now, but when completeness or perfection comes, what is in part disappears. There are two ways of interpreting this. There are some who believe that the spiritual gifts ended with the apostles, ended in the apostolic age. That what this is talking about is that when the Bible was completed, when the New Testament was written, and we had our complete Bible, complete canon, that's what this is referring to, that's done. And so there's no more need for spiritual gifts. There's a label for those that people, it's called cessationists. They believe that the spiritual gifts have ceased. The other way of thinking, the other way of interpreting, is that when this is talking about when completion or perfection comes, that's referring to the second coming of Jesus. That when Jesus comes, that these things won't be needed anymore, and that's when the spiritual gifts will end. I guess it's pretty obvious which side I take because I've been telling you that you all have spiritual gifts if you have the Holy Spirit. I do believe that they're still available to us, that the Holy Spirit does still give us gifts. I believe, as I said, that what it's talking about when Jesus comes, when perfection comes, what is in part disappears. Because it talks about, as we're looking in a mirror kind of dimly right now, a reflection that we can't see, but then we shall see face to face. We haven't seen God or Jesus face to face just because the Bible was completed. It also says that now I know in part, then I shall fully know. As much as I try to convince Vicki, I don't know everything yet. someday I will know everything that I need to know. We all will, but we're not there yet. So I do fall on the side of that interpretation that this is talking about when Jesus returns. And then so he finishes up in verse 13 and says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. When you boil everything down, Paul sees these three things as what we refer to as irreducible minimum. There are three things that are the basic elements of a Christian's life: faith, hope, and love. Faith that Jesus is who he said he is, which means that he's coming again because he said he would. Hope in the assurance of our bodily resurrection when he comes again. And love for God because he first loved us. But why is love the greatest of those three things? Because we're not going to need the other two. We have faith that Jesus is coming. When he does come, we won't need faith anymore. We have the hope in our bodily resurrection. So when he comes and we're resurrected and we're walking around with him on this redeemed earth, we won't need hope anymore. But there's always going to be love because God is love. And so the key to understanding chapter 13, the love chapter, is to keep it in its context. Paul intended his teaching to be used to correct the destructive manner in which the Corinthians were using their spiritual gifts. Now, you could substitute any list of gifts in place of tongues, prophecy, faith. And there were probably other facets of love that could have been added to his description of what love is and what it isn't. But these gifts and these facets of love that he mentioned, they were intentionally included because they were precisely the areas in which the Corinthian church needed correction. Once we've understood that, however, then we should be challenged to apply the list to ourselves as well. The need for genuine, Christ-like agape love is as great today as it ever has been. Now, our culture uses the word love to mean just about everything except what the Bible means by it. So even Christians are easily misled into thinking that love is an emotion, a feeling that you fall in or out of. And in an age of entitlement, when everyone's demanding one's rights, and it's considered a virtue, we need to remind ourselves that love is not self-seeking. We need to remember that love doesn't motivate us to seek revenge for ourselves, but to seek justice for others. And love isn't going to remove those annoying people in our lives who seem to unleash our anger. But love will bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. And so while we're living in this gap between the inauguration of God's kingdom that happened with Jesus' birth, his first coming, and the consummation of God's reign through Jesus' second coming, while we're in the middle here, we can rejoice in our potential through the gifts of the Spirit to love our neighbors and to create good in the world. We can believe that the horrific events we see in the news have their God-ordained limits. We can and should hope, pray, and work for the implementing of God's standards in society. We've been given the gifts to get the job done, but those gifts are worthless without love. I want us to think about that as we sing our final hymn. And if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand, get ready to sing our hymn. It's one that we haven't sung while I've been here, so I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not. But go ahead and stand if you're able. We're going to sing this hymn, but I've asked Gloria, she's going to play through it once. I think you're going to find that it's a familiar tune anyway. It's going to be something that's familiar to you, but I didn't want you to lose the first verse, not paying attention to the words, just trying to catch the tune. So she's going to play through it one time, and then we'll sing it together then. And so may you go from here just bubbling over with the love of God and share that love with all those that you run into. And may the Lord bless you and protect you and make his face shine upon you and give you his love and his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.